Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn-Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, July the 18th. This is hour 353 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue. And occasionally we hear from Shaharon using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. And I want to thank James from North Wales, Pennsylvania for continuing to help host the show or the recordings, or all the recordings. And also Dan from Maryland, and this time the Apple Store. I had trouble, everything, all of a sudden Skype stopped working. Not all of a sudden, they warned me that I have to upgrade my Skype, and I don't like to upgrade because other things break and don't work, and it's just a problem. It's like flying an old airplane. It still flies. Let me just fly it the way it is. But anyway, I had to go to the Genius Bar at the Apple Store, and they took care of me. I showed them, oh, look, in the last 30 days, we had 148 countries that listened. And so Jesus helped me at the Genius Bar, and Ian helped me with GarageBand, trying to assure me the new GarageBand is just as good as the old one, and the buttons are in little different places. And thank you, David, for helping. And that's who I wanted to thank. I'll tell you, they didn't charge me anything at the Apple Store. I took an old computer from 2009. And they didn't say, oh, that computer's too old. They helped me out. So they're wonderful. Thank you, guys. And thank you, Steve Jobs, for putting that whole thing together. All right. That's what I wanted to say. Hello, Michael.
Hey. Hello.
There he is. See, he's on board.
I am.
Great. Welcome on board. Sorry about last week. I had a new operating system and everything was hooked up. I have no one to test it with. And all of a sudden, Michael and I go to record. Michael can hear me. Oh, no. What was it? I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. Oh, no. You could hear me. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, that's right.
One way. And I said, well, Michael, if you can hear me, hang up and I'll know you can hear me. So he hung up and I knew he could hear me, but, and I was under the gun to try and figure out, because I have this new program called Soundflower, and it splits our signal into 16 channels. So Michael has left and right channel 1 and 2, and I have channel 3 and 4. That's why it's good and clear. And anyway, but it's all working again. That's why I don't like to upgrade. It's just such a headache. But we have a new Skype system, operating system, and upgraded my older iPad. I mean, my older iBook Pro to, I don't know, 2009 or something. Okay, so we're set to go. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Can hear you nice and clear, and we could just get rolling because time's a wasting, right?
Right.
Well,
along now.
Yeah, let me start. What's that?
The whole program trying to troubleshoot it.
I know.
Think about it. We're hours into that thing. Well, anyway.
But anyway, it's working now, so. This is from the 2nd of July that Dan from Maryland writes. Question for Michael of Maui. Greetings from the heart. It was very interesting listening to Michael's talk of the discoveries of Ron Wyatt. It was also very revealing that Jesus' blood flowed down through the cracks from the earthquake to the Ark of the Covenant underground. There are many lessons from the cross. There are deep meanings and mysteries associated with the death of Jesus. However, some of Michael's interpretations of the shredding of the blood of Jesus seem to contradict the Urantia book's teachings, notably the teachings of paper 188, Section 4, titled Meaning of the Death on the Cross. And on the listen page, I have a link right to it. And it Dan continues. He says, paper 188:4.1 says, although Jesus did not die this death on the cross to atone for the racial guilt of mortal men, nor to provide some sort of effective approach to an otherwise offended and unforgiving God, even though the Son of Man did not offer himself as a sacrifice to appease the wrath of God and to open the wrath for sinful man to obtain salvation, notwithstanding that these ideas of atonement and propitiation are erroneous, and nonetheless there are significances attached to this death of Jesus on the cross which should not be overlooked. It is a fact that Urantia has become known among other neighboring inhabited planets as the World of the Cross. The entire Section 4 of Paper 188 is very interesting. Please, can Michael or the Shaharones comment on this? Thank you guys for your wonderful service to the universe. Signed, cheers with love, Dan from Maryland. Thank you, Dan.
This is your doctor, Shaharon.
Hello, Shaharon. Welcome.
Please. The matter of how it is interpreted can be clarified simply that there is no true deal, you might say, covenant that was made. Yet, the fulfillment of his physical struggle, because it was more than an incarnation that he had to fulfill. I am talking about Master Michael. Christ Michael of Nebadon. He suffered greatly, a physical death beyond measure. This has literally sent shockwaves throughout Nebadon, but most importantly through Satania. The effect that it left upon all the mortal worlds, as well as those who were and understand the mortal incarnation, such as we, was stupendous. It was an act far beyond what was necessary. It is true. It was never required of him that he should suffer things like this. The concept of propitiation has been taught that he must pay for the sinfulness of a generation of men or humanity in general. The deceptive nature of the adversary, the fallen one, is so perturbed and without truth that to cover all questions, whether it be needed or not, it was fulfilled that Christ died such a death in its manner that which it was done. It was known, you must understand, that the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, understood well the suffering that would have to take place or would take place. He also understood, as well as he understands now, the actual result of doing such a deed. For you see, it is only he that could act it out. The supreme sacrifice of his own will to fulfill this great plan orchestrated by Michael himself was to leave no gap open to argument. Yes, the fallen ones, Lucifer, had no right of ownership of the human race or all the mortal races under his watch care. But he indeed thought so of himself. This deceptive nature was so confusing even to him that he should generate a complete rebellion against Michael. And the authority of the universe in which he stood. He dared even that he should rise above his own position, take a place with the Verondadex, himself being a lower agent, and rise up above them. This indeed was a highly confused individual. But in order to put down the confusion, not to fulfill a purchase price or to be an exchange or propitiation for man's sin, did he do, but forever lay a clear path of truth and enlightenment for the universe itself. Today, if you could only see, as Michael has, the number of mortal who make a trip to the New Jerusalem just that they may quickly, perhaps in a small way, see that world, Irancha, in which this very special, very sacred act of self-sacrifice and ultimate service he laid forth willingly on Irancha, the famous death on the cross, which is one of the reasons Irancha is called the planet of the cross, also nicknamed the planet of the crossing, erroneously. It was seen ahead of time that the cross would become a symbol of Irancha. But yes, Irancha papers in dictating that there was no ownership by Lucifer, neither was there a command from the Father in heaven, you might call it the first source and center, decreed by the Ancients of Days that he must go through that. There was no such thing. This was all Michael. It was all of him that did this, and quite the nature of and dispelled the dark places, the hidden, the arguments that could possibly come forth. When he defeated Lucifer finally, as well as the prince of this world, he stood yet defeating them, but not having received fully the title of Master Michael. after his resurrection, he ascended, and from there was given the Spirit of Truth. The miraculous thing about the Spirit of Truth is that it bears the character and nature of Michael himself. You might say it is embossed with his personality. Those that follow not only the pressure and push of the Holy Spirit, but enliven themselves with the revelation and relationship of the Spirit of Truth, can understand. There is no contradiction in the terms in which his blood fell to the mercy seat, for this was to dispel any argument, for Lucifer has not yet been quieted completely. The cries of injustice can still be wrung from their side. The cries of theft can still be wrung, even if they are untrue. But with such a price, should there be a question? That is why they are so numerous. The number of mortals that make their way through the New Jerusalem just to observe more closely the planet of the cross, Grancha. From there they are schooled within the school in which they go to. They are given many of the insights that they can see, the development of a planet that was stricken by confusion, by a lost direction, and that is being straightened up by a spiritual invigorating nature of the Master Michael himself in the Spirit of Truth, bestowed upon all mortal worlds in Nevadon, but most importantly, upon the most confused of all planets, Grancha. They come to see the confusion. They come to observe the imperfection. They come to observe the creativity. They come to observe the variableness of culture. And yet, all in all, they observe the brotherhood of man being worked out. Even there be division, there is unity, they observe. They are taught in these classes of dignity, classes of higher learning, the weakness of rebellion and the results that can happen from it. But you who are born and are mortal on the earth, on the rancho, living a life embedded in and within the environment that is the rancho, its culture, its laws, its peoples, its divisions and its unities, all of these things are a greater lesson than all the classes that are being given to the many thousands and thousands of mortals that continually move through the New Jerusalem. Yes, from everywhere they come, for higher engagement. And occasionally they do intermingle with the human race. There is a great schoolhouse that you are in, the mortals of Virancha. But your lessons are being learned by a much greater number. We watch the struggle between intelligent human and a human which enjoys the physical, some of which challenges their own desire to experience life in a fuller way from the mortal realm. There are many things that are being brought forward because of the way in which Christ Michael allowed his name to be bestowed upon and to Virancha as well as throughout Nevadana. It is that tone of authority, you might say, with an unnecessary mark of his blood, but a highly powerful indicator of authority by those who stand on his side. And such is the way that many of our seraphic agents, aids, and guides, and guardians function fully under the authority of a mortal who commands the name and authority, recognizing fully to their own ability the high price paid by Michael. Not that it was necessary, but that it was done. Standing before injustice and moving through injustice, and even through it all, bestowing his name, his spirit, the spirit of truth, to a race of people only discovering the authority and power vested in them. Know that it is invested in you who recognize that payment that was not necessary, but that needs to be appreciated. If you take yourself to the scene, what will it do for you? This is where the multitude of visitors from other worlds, mortal as they are, want to understand. The deep love that many humans have for their Creator Son, Master Christ Michael of Nevadana. They wonder at the pure worship that is given. They wonder at the tears that flow and emotions that they also bear in trying to understand the total injustice of his death on the cross, and that he stood there willingly, forgiving all that acted upon him that day. Be it known, you are not alone in your observations, but you also are being observed. Whether or not you will appreciate, do you look at it simply as a contractual agreement, a covenant that was made, and then see the necessity for it? Or does it become even more to you when you realize that it was not necessary? He could have done and done away with confusion by full authority of his own, never ascending the cross, never going through an unjust trial. No, the absolute respect for your personal integrity. Your personal will. This was very important that he preserved, that you might choose the truth, the light of life, and ascend to be even as his children, his people, to fulfill and to fill the destiny much higher than you can even imagine, in a kingdom that is beyond description. I say to you, yes, the death of the cross was not necessary. This he willingly did in demonstration of many things. Step back and study what happened. Understand if it not be necessary, and he still did it, what the demonstration of that is. And for every human mortal who bears allegiance, empathy and sympathy to that blood, to the death on the cross, to the physical suffering, to the injustice, bear the character and nature of the Spirit of Truth in their life, will see many wonderful things begin to open up, as the seraphic agents will find it easy to function under your direction and your command. And many things can be done. Indeed, miracles can happen simply because you understand. Not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of God it be done. I, Tirtharatha Diksha Arun, hope you may have understood a bit more. But more is to be discovered in this, on your own living, on your own individual attention to the authority also invested in all those who understand that great sacrifice and bear it upon their soul as a badge of honor. Farewell.
Farewell, Shaharan. A badge of honor.
To sympathize, empathize.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I saw the groups. I saw some of the groups, the thousands of them. They were, you know, I was told to sit in on the bench and just watch. And then I found out why the walkway was like a 4-lane highway, because that's how many people, you know, and they weren't humanoid people. They were mortals, probably according to Sharun, they're mortal, you know. And they came to learn. They came to learn the meaning of it too. The meaning of the death on the cross. Many other things, of course, but to observe and learn.
He said the death on the cross was not necessary.
No. But it was done. by his own choice, choosing not to stop the injustice. But he also was able to see, before he incarnated as a human, the end from the beginning. So he knew something, but he needed to act it out. Needed to be willing enough to go through everything. Anyway, it seems challenging for anyone, but with the ability, they mocked him, saying, "If you save others, now save yourself." They were literally challenging him to apply himself in a miraculous way. He didn't do that. So the study of this one interesting thing, I remember in the classroom environments, I went into the first grade, which was, it only had one morancho plant in front of it, the plant that burns like, fire but doesn't get consumed. And there, I went out and looked into a couple other rooms, the three, the four. I think I went up to like maybe one that had about five in front of it. I looked into there. And it was as if, it looked at me as if, what are you looking into here for? Because you are living the lesson. You don't need it. So I guess we're all living that lesson, that there are many people, many of those other alien mortals are coming here to learn. And we don't see them. They're mortal. And therefore, they probably are functioning with the same, spacecraft, but which can be invisible. I'm not sure exactly how close they get, but their numbers are quite large. Anyway, that's about, I guess Shaorun was ready for that, to look at the meaning of the cross. Yes,
so when Christ was put on the cross, he himself knew he would live again, didn't he?
He of course knew that. He had declared it, and they had known that his parable, it says, in this temple would be thrown down, in 3 days it would be brought up. But they also knew that he had challenged the world by saying that if you kill me, in 3 days I'll come alive again. What is interesting is what Ron Wyatt did. He noticed that he found the tomb, Joseph's tomb, Joseph of Arimathea. This was a wealthy man that gave the tomb to Christ. He also is the one that claimed the body of Christ. And there's a disc, a big huge disc, which was rolled left, if it goes left it would open the tomb, if it goes right it would be in the closed position. So what they did when the tomb was closed, that disc was closed over the tomb entrance, but what they discovered was the ancient iron spike that was put into the wall, a limestone wall that would hold the disc closed. It would be like pinning it in place. So they pinned it in place with iron rods. And what they discovered was they discovered the remnants of the iron rods, because when The stone was rolled away. It was rolled away miraculously. The guards were there, and because of how it happened, they ran away. You know, so this is a bad thing, because if they were caught vacating their post, the penalty for that kind of running away would be death. Yeah, so that's how the tomb was opened. So serious business.
Mm-hmm. So this disc, so this disc was moved and the tomb was opened?
Yeah, and they pinned it because they were well aware that he claimed to say he would rise from the dead. And they thought that his people would come, you know, whether it be John, Peter, or the whole gang, you know, Thomas, everybody, come over there and just break open the tomb and steal his body. That's what they were afraid of, because then they would start up the concept that he was, you know, risen from the dead. And what happened was they pinned it closed. Guards were placed there. The penalty, if you let that happen, you're dead. Well, the guards weren't there. The disc was rolled open. The door was rolled open. The iron pins, which are still there today, to this day, are in the wall. And the tomb was empty, vacated, and the shroud was left aside. There are two things. The one was the shroud, and the other one was a napkin. Both are known. Their locations are known. The shroud is very interesting, because now they're discovering so many things about the shroud. There was movement detected in the flash, the initial resurrection or decomposition. It's actually the decomposition flash that exchanged the mortal body for a, you might call it, the resurrected body. This is what happened to me in terms of, can I go into that chamber where you go in and you live forever? I told my guide, because he said, you go into there and you live forever. And I said, okay, well, can I go in there? And then I found out that it's kind of an exchange, because my body, he said, doesn't he need his body? They weren't talking about me. They're differentiating between myself and my body. And they said, if I go through that process, I would vacate my body. My body would die. I would go on. But don't I need my body to continue the progress on Earth? Because I have to try to live the fullest life for the experiential fulfillment of the development, full development of my soul. And that, you know, was given to the rich man, you might call him the big industrial farmer, that said, was challenged, and he says, you know, what are you going to do now? You know, you're very successful. You have lots of stored up crops, and what are you going to do? He says, well, I'm going to build greater barns and make bigger areas and just continue getting bigger in what I do well. Christ said, you're a fool, an uninformed person. This day, your soul be required of you. What will you have to say? Except, you know how to grow crops, which has no bearing on the development of your soul, except in one area, the point of selfishness and greed, which is not a virtue that really is looked for by the, you might call them, the resurrection, or the vetting people, or vet the individuals. Might have to just lay there and sleep for a while. But all those who understand and bear in their soul and upon their heart the meaning of the death of the cross, that it wasn't that he required it, It was a, you might say, a token of love, and bear that token of love in their soul, in their heart, and try as much as possible to reciprocate that forward to Christ Michael, the universe creator, will automatically move on because of that. You might say, not because he bought them away from sin. No, it's because the person appreciates and loves the Lord. For whatever reason, he did go through that fullest measure. And they can take it as a personal gift or not there. But if they do, they will be rewarded well and actually get into a greater and greater love affair. This is another thing that is being studied by all those thousands of other mortals that make their way through the New Jerusalem on to study there. Apparently it's functioning tremendously as a spaceport, and one in which students come through from, I don't know, from where I saw them, they were like all from the same area. Yeah, large, massive group.
I'm sorry, large what?
Massive groups of mortal aliens.
Mm.
Yeah. Not all the people I saw were mortal. I mean, there were like lots of higher than mortal beings, people.
Higher than mortal.
Higher than mortal. The teacher, the Dano, was a higher than mortal being, but apparently he is an ascended Trinitized son that has come back from whatever his mortal incarnation was to be able to teach and give enlightenment not only to myself but to many other mortal as well as higher. Purpose is to teach.
And do they also ask you to teach also?
When I left, I was given the title the Navigator. The navigator, when we navigate, when you think of a navigator, there's a place you want to go, and what the navigator will make sure that you know how to get there. And there are many times different ways to get there to the end. The navigators also have to have a good knowledge of where they're traveling, or able to properly assess through whatever it may be. Charts or devices to understand positionally where they are and then where they want to go. So in terms of why they gave me that title was because it took me out of the normal setting of a human being on earth and gave me the perspective of a higher than human, outside of planet Earth, to help people understand, first of all, where they're at and where they would like to go, and them understanding where they would like to go. They would have to just understand where they're at and where they want to go, really, really. And sometimes the understanding little bit about this war. It helps. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's amazing, Michael. Okay, well, we also heard from Ted from Pennsylvania. This is the other day, 13 July. He said, "Hi, Curtis. Shows continue to be so interesting. The blood of Christ in the last two was so fascinating. I listened to Shaharon explain the debt idea a couple times and it was so enlightening. I've also downloaded and continue to read and absorb the Majorison's papers. I wonder if Michael and Ted would comment on these papers. It appears to me that events are tied to world population of 9 billion as I read it, according to reference sites. That's around 2050.
Mm-hmm.
And he signs off by saying, "Still great stuff, though."
Yeah. Reference, sorry, I don't know about those things.
About the Majorison papers?
Well, I don't reference any of it. Majorison is a person who supposedly channels Majorison. Yeah, Majorison is somebody that has, you know, it is channeled. I don't know that, but I do know this much, that I'm not alone in understanding the higher purpose. There are many volunteers who try to volunteer to help enlighten the planet. You know, some of them take big steps, like Tan and Nella. Tan and Nella actually transported me to a location, which is the New Jerusalem, to be, you might say, absorbed a little bit more. And that was up to me and how I would navigate my position up. Ended up finally going up to the Verandadik Most High. And if anyone studies the Irantrabo, understands that a Verandadik is a very high ruler and authority. Just to have an interview with a Verandadik was really navigating up high. Along the way, I'm sure I bumped into some shells of decks, but never really were told what they were. But a Danal teacher is a Trinitized son, who is also extremely high up in the authority level, having a different purpose of enlightenment. So, yeah. But the safety is really, you'll find it quite, warm for yourself as an individual, that you will be able to, through the spirit of truth, engage with the personality and nature of the universe creator himself, Christ Michael of Nebadon. This is probably the most important thing I have to say. It's just that some people are a little bit unsure of their relationship to him, to Christ Michael, and perhaps would feel better having an intermediary, because sometimes they gain more insight that way. The truth of the matter is, when listening to any insight, the discerning that is required to understand that is the active relationship between one's own psyche and intelligence, and the thought given, as well as how it reflects off of the thought adjuster, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. One of the things that you will notice, if you've ever worked with angelic beings, is the pause. There is a pause for reflection that takes place, even during instruction, even in enlightenment. There isn't always this absolute barrage of information that just seems to come out, that is not necessarily the active voice, the divine voice that needs to be discerned. You yourself will be, as an individual, one will have to do the same thing in reflecting off of all the voices out there. There is a voice that is human that tells Islamic people that it is okay to kill the infidel. Wrong voice if you believe that. Today, Christ is penetrating the sincere ones in Islam. And I mean, they're sincerely trying to know God. They're crying out, they want to know Allah, Allah, they want to know Him. And guess who comes into their dreams, and in, sometimes even into their bedroom or whatever, wherever they're at, and shows himself and tells them that it is Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand and accept Him. There's a huge conversion process going on right now, unseen by the sincere seekers of truth in Islam. They don't hear the lying voice, but hear the truth and are being converted many times to actually become Christian or to be able to sincerely study the Word of God, the Holy Bible. I'm not sure if they're actually moving toward the Irancha book, but it's pointed out that miraculously the Holy Bible comes into their hands. And I find it quite miraculous. So that, you know, this voice, these voices out there can be human voices telling you the absolute wrong thing. But, you know, we wonder how people can get radicalized. Yeah. And they do get radicalized. There's many voices that have gone into the world, but you got to discern them, whether it be of God or not, or of His agents, many agents that are truly trying to help. Others I mentioned, which are quite false and evil. Anyway.
Yeah, there are these other religious groups. It seems that there's many different religious groups that think their God is the only God or the only creator. And then they want to fight about it.
Well, you know, you talk about religious, and whenever we get political and tribal groups or things like that get involved into the confusion of about the matter, and it escalates into you might call it an evil, to the confusion. I don't think that they don't really want evil, but they're confused.
Well, they're confused, but these days there's people killing other people because for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway, but the miraculous thing I noticed was that there may be very sincere people who are really trying to find in an Islamic environment God, and they actually get Christ come into their life, and they get immediately converted, because they've made their hearts ready for truth.
They've made their hearts ready for truth?
Yeah, by being open, mm-hmm. and seeking truth with a sincere heart. And then when he appears, they're like, wow, I thought, anyway, there's just more going on there that takes place at that time. That tremendous religious experience. Anyway, that's part of living the life of understanding. It's really falling deeper and deeper into love with the universe creator. And that's pretty much what happens when you try to develop a relationship with God in a sincere way. He'll draw near to you because it's already inside of you. That's the part I didn't understand quite right then. The scriptures were there, but I didn't know about the thought adjuster. I didn't really know that the thought adjuster was active and alive and an agent of revelation. Being, always there. And that's why such scripture was written down. It sticks closer than a brother. The idea is that if you truly seek God, He will find you. You will find Him. There's no way you won't find Him.
Well, we also, yesterday Paul J.S. sent me an interesting video that looked like NASA put out, or it's a flyover of Pluto, and I have a link on the listen page. It's rather short, a minute or two, but it's interesting that they actually have the camera it's almost like they're controlling the position of the camera, which I find remarkable when it takes so long to get the message, even to Saturn, 70 minutes. Well, Pluto's that much further, or much further.
They have artificial intelligence working on there too.
Okay.
We're at a point that we have artificial intelligence, wanting to drive our cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's really come a long way, and ain't no big deal for a telecamera to follow, keep watching,
mm-hmm.
keep watching this Pluto as we go past, it's easy to do that program, so it doesn't have to go back and forth to Earth and continually send the information.
Well, this Ark of the Covenant, this is in a secret place near Israel, or where would you say the Ark of the Covenant is?
Uh, The Ark of the Covenant is in Israel. It is very, very close to Golgotha, or the Hill of the Skull, which is where the crucifixions were taking place, the various crucifixions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Golgotha is the location in a general sense, you know, within 100 feet or so.
Wow, that's close.
Yeah, the problem is that 100 feet is behind the hill of Golgotha.
Oh.
Into the solid limestone.
So that's where the Ark of the Covenant is, in this solid limestone?
Cavern.
Yeah. Cavern.
Yeah. It's known, according to Ron Wyatt, the Israeli authorities tried to go get it, and I described it last time in concern. Six men decided that they were going to end up dressing in all the correct Levitical wear to be carrying the Ark, and they went in there, but before they reached there, they were stopped and then they died. And their terrible report that nobody wanted to go and retrieve their bodies for fear of death. They know them very well, the scriptures and the problems that had with the Ark, very powerful. But it's more having to do with the angels that have been given authority and charge over the Ark of the Covenant to defend it. And only Ron Wyatt could go in there and retrieve the dead bodies of those guys who tried to basically steal the Ark. And they were legitimate Israeli authorities, but they were not legitimately approved of by God. Only Ron Wyatt was, because he was able to stand and touch the Ark and stand within the area. He was first, when he first found the Ark, basically knocked out. In the Christian circles, in Pentecostal circles, like where I ministered as a minister, the term we use is he's slain the spirit, and he's slain in the spirit, and is overwhelmed, consciously overwhelmed, until become unconscious. And many things happen in unconsciousness of the slain in the spirit. Sometimes people get miraculously healed. In fact, a lot of times they do. Other times they don't know what happened, but they're not the same anymore afterwards, and they realize the reality of divinity and the divinity within themselves, especially. So anyway, that's a lot of things that happen. You know, they know where the Ark is. I don't know if they're going to even touch it. Israeli people, Israeli authorities know where it's at. They also know the danger of things, you know, could blow wide open, you know, very powder keg area.
So the Israelis sent in a group of people to retrieve the Ark, and they didn't make it out.
No, they were like, according to Ron White's son, he relayed what the father told him, that their eyes were crossed, were open, and the eyes were crossed. And that was an indication that he had a type of cerebral hemorrhage. In the frontal lobe. They also relayed to the father was relayed by the authorities that they had walkie-talkies. And they were, what was coming across on the walkie-talkie was not nice. It was terrifying before they died. So you might say that when they, it was a terrifying incident. I kind of relate it back to like, well, it sounds like Indiana Jones, where the went in the Ark of the Covenant and the guys went crazy. Anyway, so you might say it's in safekeeping right now, but that safekeeping is not human. It's more angelic, actually.
Mm-hmm. That's really safekeeping.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, but what he did was he did discover it. He was actually driven by the Holy Spirit to do that. That's why he did that. I wasn't sure why. And I know exactly what that, I call that the pressure. And that pressure makes you just keep doing it, you know, you just don't know why, but it's so interesting. Just get involved and just dig and dig and dig and keep finding, you know. So, like you, perhaps digging in the map of the case, you know why? Keep digging.
Mm-hmm.
Except for him, it was literally digging, you know, not just pictures, but still, you know, it's not a task that is put upon you that is too hard. So for you, it wasn't too hard, and for Ron Wyatt, it was almost too hard.
But he didn't perish in this ordeal.
No,
with,
he died of, I think, cancer.
Mm-hmm. I say, wow. Well, the Ark of the Covenant is in safekeeping, that's for sure. Nobody wants to get near that.
Yeah. And I think when it comes down to a lot of the Christian or Israeli people, or Judaism, Israeli, they don't need it. They don't need it. Not yet. It's too much of a problem. Except for the guys who want to produce TV shows and make money off of the idea. Went all the way down the wrong direction. And I believe that that was a copy. And it makes all the sense in the world that you have copies, and that they still, they take the people on the wrong chase for the Ark of the Covenant, wrong direction.
Hmm. And what is contained in the Ark of the Covenant that you could?
Well, what he did was the tablets of the law, the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Are on stone. They were seated inside of the ark when he went over there. The angels told him to take it out, and then he didn't know what to do with them. He was standing there holding them. Then they told him to put it on a shelf inside of that cave. The cave room was absolutely clean. It was, you know, when he first went in there, there were, everything was covered with animal skins and stones and dirt and dust. And when he went in there the fourth time, it was clean. It was absolutely pristine. And that was a heads up, you know, wow, what's going on? Then he found them in there, the angels. They told him, you know, take the book of the law, which is the tablets of stone. He says they want the world to understand that and read it and understand it and know that it's real. But the time is not yet, so put it on the shelf. And an interesting note that was made, notice, or someone asked Ron, well, what did it look like? And he said, it looked like a finger had wrote something in what would be like soft butter. You know. So it was apparently very smooth, and you know, like clay, it's, you know, you can tell when you're writing in clay, it's not necessarily smooth. But the butter is very smooth, soft butter. So that's what it looked like. It didn't have that chiseled appearance or something like that. Mm-hmm. No, no. I kind of imagined it as chiseled appearance, but I don't know, I was wrong. So. the time in which it would be brought out would be a time in which it's called the time in which the mark of the beast would be instituted. The mark of the beast is a characteristic when it's characterized by a time when you cannot buy or sell except if you have this mark of the beast. And that is a method of economic control. You know, pretty obvious. You cannot buy or sell except if you have the mark. There's been a lot of talk in what is the mark. And you know, for a while it was thought to be the universal pricing code. And at one time the universal pricing code had two thin parallel lines. And they're all lines on it, UPC code. But these were registry lines, which equivalated to what would be the number 6. So it would start two thin lines, code, and in the center there would be two more thin lines, which were 6, and there would be the center registry point and the end, which is two more thin lines. That's so that the device would know the beginning, middle, and end, so they would have 666. It was also marks used by IBM to mark the Jews. They use registry marks in terms of that. In that they were, believe it or not, used to number the Jews in the Holocaust. So the 666 has made its appearance many times as a mark. And but just the idea of what it would be used for, once it's instituted as a worldwide system, then this when the world would have to learn about the reality of, you might say, God, the reality of God as a high authority in terms of the universe. Every time the idea of, you know, Galileo was thrown in jail, was killed because he dared to say that Earth is not the center of the universe, and that whole idea is how the church would lose power. But the same problem still exists, and especially in the world.
Oh, your microphone's having trouble.
Some kind of uniform.
Oh, there, thank you.
Uniform global church, one world church, one world religion. And that would have to probably come into place. This is being played out right now, though. I don't know what's happening with that. I don't follow that too much. Keep your relationship very alive between oneself and the Spirit of Truth, because He'll give you insight and a heads up when it's necessary. But that same pressure that pressure to look. In fact, Christ kind of gave it. When you see these things coming to pass, look up. And that means physically look up. Don't look, you know, people would say spiritually you gotta kind of have a more heavenly look toward life, you know. No, it's physically look up when you see these things down the path. And we're seeing a lot of UFOs right now. So they're just going to get more and more numerous. I was giving an early indicator of what it would be like, and there would be an increasing number of UFO sites until there is a kind of, you might say, worldwide phenomenon of seeing this armada of ships. Right now, I've seen thousands and thousands of, you might call them aliens, but they're people, mortals, visiting the New Jerusalem, and probably to take special training and then to have a trip to see Urantia or Earth. And hopefully they don't crash land. But anyway, they're there. So there's also going to be a whole bunch of them coming and cruising from every corner of the universe.
When they come to Earth to take a look, where on Earth would they look and what would they see?
They've gone to many places. Some of them have studied some of the places where significant events can take place. Interestingly, there was a lot of sightings around the tower, the Twin Towers in New York, prior to 9/11. And then there are other sightings that take place after, or historic events, you see them around the area. So you know they're studying, or they're just, you know, trying to relate to the event. Been in those, many of those, in battlefields in the Middle East. And it doesn't rule out the fact that we have technology that has been kind of gifted, you know, and it's maybe functioning but very limited level because we don't have the full capability that they have. Tannenella's ship, but they're not that level. Yeah, so forgot the name of them. There's a triangular one that is surmised as being our own technology, back engineered. Actually, not necessarily back engineered, more like given to us. And not a weapon, but something for us to understand. They know that we are going to make the leap pretty soon. That is an indicator of when they need to start to act, take action. That action being get involved with us, help direct our lives. Don't let us blow ourselves up.
So what kind of leap of ours would it take for them to jump into action?
Well, the first leap was when we went to the moon, when we went to space. That brought on a different composure from the old biblical days. You see, the change will occur when we see one like the Son of Man in the heavens. So one like a human being in the heavens was, you know, when humans were sent up into space. That marked the time in which they would start to change their posture concerning us.
So that was a big deal to them, for us just to leap into space? I mean, we're only into space a little distance, hardly a distance from Earth.
You might think that, but that's not what they thought. Because, you see, their thinking in terms of time is not the same as us. We have such short vision, yeah, in terms of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when we think of time, we think of time in a kind of like a almost immediate thing. But for them, you know, it marks a different meaning because, the time of their day is different. Just their lifespans are different. What would be considered like fast for them would be like, whoa, might be kind of long for us.
Hmm. Well, there's quite a few of those Ron Wyatt videos on YouTube.
Yeah, just peruse them because there's a. I believe Ron Wyatt is a. He was operating as a part of the mortal core of destiny, and as a part of that mortal core of destiny, has a lot to do with, I guess, the way the human race goes on its merry way.
Mm-hmm.
People will have tools to help them, you know, individually make a case for truth. That being that, there has been divine activity taking place. How it was taking place, you really can see in the past that is. Records, biblical records, are sustained because of archaeology. Okay.
Yeah. That's all right, Michael.
Yeah.
Until next time, want to thank Dan from Maryland and Ted from Pennsylvania and Paul J.S. He's from Georgia. Anyone else, send in question or comments.
Yeah.
We'd be glad to read them to Michael. All right, Michael. Aloha.
Okay. Bye.
Aloha. Bye.
Aloha.